1985, Fatherhood, The Game, Baltimore Orioles 4, Texas Rangers 2, at Memorial Stadium in Baltimore, attendance 50,402, on Monday, April 8, 1985, the weather, 40s, windy, and snowing at game time. This was Baltimore, not Chicago. Hall of Famers, Orioles first baseman Eddie Murray, and shortstop Cal Ripken Jr. Game highlights. 8 years earlier, when these same two teams met on opening day, I proudly hung my Go Senators! Exclamation point banner. On this day, when one of the last still active Washington Senators, 36-year-old Toby Hara, led off for the Rangers, I barely noticed. I needed these Orioles to win so HTS could thrive. Baltimore scored 4 runs on only 2 hits, including a decisive 2-run homer in the 8th by Eddie Murray. The Orioles were aided by 10 walks, 8 off Rangers starter Charlie Huff. The 37-year-old knuckleball specialist would start on opening day again in 1993, the first game ever for the expansion Florida, now Miami, Marlins. He completed a 25-year career and retired following the 1994 season, just shy of his 47th birthday, having given up 1,665 walks to rank 8th all-time. He also holds the distinction of being one of only 2 players, Goose Gossage is the other, whose career spanned all 8 work stoppages. He was in his 3rd year with the LA Dodgers during the first strike in 1972 and started 21 games for the 1974 Marlins before yet another labor dispute interrupted play for the 8th time. He never returned. This would be Joe Altobelli's 3rd and final opening day as Baltimore manager, less than 2 years after winning the 1983 World Series. The Orioles fired him in June. Ironically, Altobelli was fired by the San Francisco Giants late in the 1979 season, just a year after being named National League Manager of the Year. Hey, Joe, what have you done for us lately? Jeez. The story. On Easter Sunday afternoon, I was sitting in a hospital room holding my 3-day-old firstborn son, Bradley. On the TV was a game between the Houston Gamblers, star quarterback was Jim Kelly, and Donald Trump's New Jersey Generals, star quarterback Doug Flutie and running back Herschel Walker, of the short-lived United States Football League. It may sound like a stereotypical father-son football moment, but at the time, it was anything but that. Kate had been rolled back into surgery due to complications from Thursday morning's emergency C-section. All the worst thoughts of post-op problems were racing through my head. Once the doctor said the worst was over and she'd be fine, I invited her parents to come join us. They lived in Arlington, Virginia, only a few minutes away. The furthest thing from my mind was tomorrow's opening day game in Baltimore and my 15-year opening day streak. Let's go back 3 days. This was long before we used the term paternity leave. Only recently had we emerged from the dark ages of the father's waiting room, where anxious dads-to-be would first learn the gender of the child and the condition of the mother. The fact I was able to be in the delivery room during Thursday morning's delivery was a pretty big deal. However, Friday, I was back at work while Kate's mom doted over her new grandson and daughter. Early April was the busiest time of year for HTS. Part of my job was to make sure the TV listings in the newspaper were accurate. The schedules for the next several days were uniquely complex, with the Orioles, NHL Washington Capitals, and NBA Washington Bullets all playing during the same week. We had only one channel, so the games we didn't televise would be on free TV. I was working in our downtown office at the shared word processor when the phone rang. It was Kate. "What's wrong?" I asked. "It's the nurses," she explained. "They're trying to get me. You need to come back." As I quickly saved my work on a floppy disk, she continued, "I think they're under the bed." I asked if her mom was there. Patricia DeMarco took the phone. "She's fine," Pat said calmly. "I think it's her medication. For pain, they gave her something called Percocet. I was relieved to know they hadn't started filming a scene for a horror movie in my wife's hospital room. While the effects of the Percocet subsided over the weekend, her discomfort did not, necessitating a successful follow-up procedure Sunday afternoon. Spending the weekend with my wife and newborn son was an anxiety-filled joy. Changing my first diaper with my mother-in-law looking over my shoulder? Not so much. Sunday night, Pat insisted she had everything under control and that I should plan to go home, get some rest, and go to the office Monday morning. She'd heard me and Kate express concerns in recent weeks about the future of HTS. Other similar startups around the country were shutting down, and we feared we might be next. Pat thought it best for me to be at work. Pat also had a special place in her heart for baseball, having spent her entire life rooting for her Boston Red Sox. Following my mother-in-law's orders, Monday morning I went to work. Monday afternoon, I was at opening day. For the box score, play-by-play, baby pictures, and more, visit openingday5050.com.